Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, June the 10th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and The Voice Network, our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas. We're delighted they are along with us as well. And of course, we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, where all of the shows are archived for 24/7 listening. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, my favorite day of the week. It's our Friday focus. We feature a newsmaker interview. Then at the bottom of the hour, it's our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Then we close out the show with our Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Today's Friday focus is with the new head of the Metropolitan Tucson Chamber of Commerce. His name is Mike Varney. He comes to Southern Arizona after a stint at North Las Vegas, heading up the Chamber of Commerce there. Joining me to talk with Mr. Varney is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Mike Varney, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you very much for having me.
And I should point out that if any of our viewers in the Southern Arizona area would like to talk with Mr. Varney, 790-2040 or 1-866-725-5467 if you are outside of the Tucson area. Mr. Varney, how's it going in the new job?
Very, very fast. Very busy. I really tried very hard when I got here, Bill, to come to Tucson with a good solid background in chamber management, but to come in politically and in all other ways, culturally and everything, is kind of a blank canvas, and just to take the first 30 or 60 days to do a lot of listening. I didn't want to try to come in with any preconceived notions. Tucson is a beautiful city, and I'm thrilled to be here. We'll be moving the needle business-wise in a number of areas, but I really wanted to come in and it's just in kind of a neutral position and just soak up as much intelligence and information as I could.
It is, people might on the surface say, well, Las Vegas, Tucson, two very similar in some ways southwestern cities, but after having lived and spent about 6 years in covering the news in Las Vegas, Las Vegas is a unique place.
That's an understatement.
To say the least, and I really don't – there really aren't that many similarities between Tucson and Las Vegas, are there?
No. There aren't, well, other than geography, yeah. Both being in the Southwest. But one of the things that struck me and struck my wife early on is just that this is a much more relaxed environment. Las Vegas, as you know, is a 24/7 go-go-go kind of environment. That's the brand of Las Vegas. And so it's nice to kind of slow down a little bit and exhale.
I was wondering, you've been here about a month on the job, mm-hmm. and there have been studies over the past year or so, kind of, and I'm sure before then, but kind of as Tucson tries to find what its identity is, especially in comparison to the behemoth up the road that is Phoenix. Yep. So in your view, you've been here not a long time, but long enough to kind of get a sense and talking to people. Should Tucson, in your view, be competing with Phoenix for hotel business, for conventions, for business?
I think Tucson should be competing as hard as it can and as effectively as it can with any market that takes tourism dollars from our area. We do have a bigger city, just very nearby in Phoenix, naturally their philosophy is the same thing. They're going to try to capture those tourism dollars any way they can. So with all of the ways that people have to travel now and so forth, I just think anything that we can do to attract as much business here, whether it's at the cost of Phoenix or Denver or Southern California, we have to bring people to Tucson.
And what would you say is the best way to do that? To play to Tucson's strengths, what does Tucson have that Phoenix or Denver or Albuquerque doesn't have?
Well, it's probably a better question for the folks that have done all the research at the CVB. But being a marketing guy at heart, I think that, and I'm not suggesting that they have not done it, but every city has a brand. We just talked about the Las Vegas brand. We need to create, probably already created, a brand that represents Tucson that isn't, would not be confused with any other city, whether it's Western Heritage or whatever it is, and use that brand as the way to differentiate Tucson from its competitors.
There were numerous projects that you were involved with in North Las Vegas, getting economic stimulus to the North Las Vegas area, small business, military affairs, government affairs committees. Certainly some of those jump right out that can translate here to Southern Arizona military affairs. Folks are always concerned about the future of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and how secure that is. That's got to be on your radar screen.
Well, it does. I think any economic any organization or any company that has a significant economic impact on this community has to be watched. That's part of what I hope we'll do to form a partnership with TRIO here in Southern Arizona is to, while they're very, very busy trying to attract companies to Tucson and to Southern Arizona, one of the roles that the chamber might be able to play is retention and expansion, and that may spill over into Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. We do have a very, very effective military affairs committee in place already, Bill, and the relationship between the chamber and Davis-Monthan is already very, very solid. But we're going to obviously keep an eye on that. And, you know, when we hear about base closings coming up again on the federal government's radar screen, we'll naturally be paying attention to that.
790-2040 if you would like to jump in on the conversation here with Mike Varney. He is the new head of the Metropolitan Tucson Chamber of Commerce. This is the Buckmaster Show, and here is Sarah Garrett Gasson, the Arizona Daily Star.
You've, as I've said, been on the job about a month. Your predecessor, Jack Camper, was sort of a legend, both in Tucson and nationally and among chamber circles. And he had, leading up to his departure, some detractors who were quite vocal about their dissatisfaction with how he was handling things. And some of those folks were active with the Tea Party Republican organizations in town. So I'm wondering, how do you approach that? What do you see the influence of those folks being as you move forward?
That's a question that's very close to a question I was asked when the board was doing the screening to hire a new executive. And my personal approach to that is that a lot of the issues that we all face can go a long way toward solution if we just sit down and stop throwing rocks at each other and just talk and have some good professional discourse. Let's find out what both sides how both sides look at a certain situation, and instead of looking at why we're different, let's look at where we can come together and what we can do together. There will always be groups, big or small, that will be, you know, to one degree or another, somewhere on the right or somewhere on the left. I think most of the decisions that most citizens in this community or any other community are going to be happiest with will be formed by that 80% that's in the middle instead of the 10% on either fringe.
And I was also wondering, you have a reputation as being pro-business, which I guess for a Chamber of Commerce guy makes sense.
Yeah, we don't apologize for that.
I mean, but what does that mean? I mean, that's one of those sort of tag words that people throw around. But to you specifically, what does that mean?
Let me tell you, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it. We have a mantra that we've adopted at the Tucson Metro Chamber. And the mantra is that when business is good, life is good. And there are a lot of ways to define that and a lot of ways to look at it. But the message that we want to carry to the community is that when business is healthy here in Tucson, people will have jobs. We don't have to tell anybody about the impact of unemployment in this region or the country right now. People who have jobs have personal income. When people have personal income, they and their spouses and their children have choices. They have choices about how they educate their children, where they live, the kind of car they drive, the kind of home they're able to create for their family. But without jobs, it's pretty hard to have those choices. And so our mantra is that when business is good and we have new companies coming to this community and the companies that are here are beginning to employ people again, we'll have personal income, we'll have paychecks, and we will never apologize to anybody about that. Not that you were suggesting that, Sarah, but we think that when business is good, life is good. And the kind of the finishing flourish on that mantra is that when people are paying taxes, we have better parks, we have more teachers, we have more public safety people. Just so many good things flow from having a good, solid business community.
Coming up now on 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to take a break. We will be back with Mike Varney. He is the president and head of the Tucson Chamber of Commerce. We'll be back.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
It is now about 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show, and speaking with us on the Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is Mike Varney. He is the new head of the Metropolitan Tucson Chamber of Commerce. Joining me in the conversation is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Mr. Varney, I want to pick up a little bit on the economic situation. You were talking about jobs. What is the position of the chamber on the proposed Rosemont copper mine?
Well, we this whole process, of course, began before I arrived here in Tucson, which was in early May. So I received a number of briefings. I've had a tour of the mine facility, talked to people out there. I've talked to a host of people on both sides of the issue. I have to come down on the side of if the environmental responsibilities of the mine can be met within the regulatory boundaries set by the U.S. Forest Service and any other municipality, county panel that will pass judgment on air quality, water quality, et cetera, if they have confidence that the mine can operate within those regulatory boundaries, then we need that mine. We have pretty big-time unemployment here right now, and there are a lot of people, a lot of families that need the jobs that that mine will create. All of us are environmentalists. Nobody wants to see Mother Earth scarred, and nobody wants to see Mother Earth dealt with in any way, other way than a respectful way. But at the same time, Mother Earth does give us ore. Mother Earth gives us all kinds of treasures that we then through industry, convert into other good things in life. It's ironic that the copper that will come out of the ground at Rosemont, we hope, is critical to the solar energy industry. And so what the mine may give up and the environmental impact there, which I'm sure the mine will mitigate, will light many homes with a very renewable, very modern source of energy generation. So that's a pretty nice trade-off as far as we're concerned. But Rosemont still has to clear the environmental impact clearances, but we are behind it for the economic reasons that are very, very clear in the number of employees that they'll bring.
I wanted to ask about the legislature and what you see as the effects, both the reputation of Arizona nationally, having come in to the state from the outside, and then who you've spoken with, and then what you're hearing from people who have been in Arizona and dealing with the effects of this legislature, which is extremely has an ideological bent, would say.
It's a polarized situation, and I have to tell you, Sarah, straight up, that I've been spending almost all of the time that I've spent on political and public policy matters at the local level. So I may not be as connected to the statewide scene as a lot of people are. But even if you live in another state, as I did up until early May, you can't help but escape the fact that Arizona's taken some polarized stances on some things. Immigration comes to the top of the list. It's a topic that if you're concerned and your questioning is along the lines of immigration, I guess I would have to say that it's something that we're going to have to sit down and work through. There are clearly some polarized differences on that. The nation is wrestling with immigration issues and how to go about effecting good immigration reform. Comprehensive immigration reform.
And the U.S. Chamber come out with a major statement saying we have got to revamp the immigration policy in this country.
Yeah. I think the people who say that, anybody who's illegal, let's find them and throw them out of the country, is that realistic? I don't think that's realistic. We're not going to identify everybody who may have cross the border illegally and, as an undocumented worker right now. So I think what we have to do is we have to step back and we say, how can we take what we have right now in terms of immigration and make the most of it. We are still a country of laws, and our laws need to be observed, no question about that. But on the other hand, we have the pragmatic approach, which is how can we go from where we are right now to a higher degree of order in handling our immigration? And I think everybody's probably got an opinion on that. But again, I go back to my earlier statement. Let's bring the 80% in the middle together, and let's get going on this and create something that we can all live with.
And another thing that has been a hot topic in Arizona and that your predecessor was becoming very vocal about was the need for a high-quality education system and how the cuts to the educational system, both higher education and K-12 throughout the state, was reverberating locally and making it really difficult to recruit businesses and help businesses grow and find good workers here. What are your thoughts on that, and what can we do?
Yeah. My thoughts on education is that education is central to wherever this municipality or this area, this region, or the state are going to go, any state. If we do not have the qualified workforce to offer to companies who are considering Tucson as a place to bring their operation and set up shop here, if we cannot provide them with the manpower that they need, the skilled labor that they need, then they're going to look someplace else. So I am a huge fan of education. I have found in my years in chamber work one little truism, and there may be people who disagree, but this is my slant on education. The taxpayer generally will pay more for schools, for education, if they get a better product. But the taxpayers become very, very tired of hearing that they need to dig into their pocket and pay more money and not see anything change. And so we are right now at the chamber looking at an education reform program that if everything comes together the way that I hope that it does, we will be putting together a coalition of individuals and groups to take a new run at education reform. And I do that with the utmost of respect and knowledge that there are other groups that are already doing these kinds of things. We've got a program that we think may ratchet up the effectiveness of education reform just a little bit. But to answer your question in broad terms, I am a huge fan of education. We need a better school system here, and if we need to pay a little bit more for it, then let's pay a little bit more for it. But on the other side of the coin, the educational system has to give us a better product.
Have you met with the state lawmakers, the delegation from Southern Arizona?
I have not met yet with the state representatives. I'm, again, very busy meeting with city council people, and I met with the mayor 2 weeks ago, met with Chuck Huckleberry last week, and I have most of the city council coming up in the coming week.
How do you keep track of everyone?
Well, I write everything down. I'm at that point in life where if it doesn't get written down, it doesn't get done.
Your name again was, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Make it say it.
That's
make
right.
them say
Pictures
it twice.
And,
right. Remaining 2 minutes or so, membership is the lifeblood of any chamber of commerce, wherever you are, in any city really in America. The membership, you're at about, 1,400 members?
Right.
And
right.
I'm sure you'd love to grow that.
We'd love to grow it, and we will grow it. We're very pleased that in about 30 days or so, we've been successful in stabilizing our membership. It had been in decline. And frankly, for perspective, chambers across the country are in declining membership. And the number one reason for that is that there's fewer companies around. This recession has cost local communities very, very dearly in the number of small businesses that it has. And so there have been small business fatalities here in Tucson, as there have been every place, Bill. And so we're rebounding from that. The member that we hate to lose is the one who says, gee, I don't see any value in being a part of your organization. You didn't pay any attention to me. You don't know who I am. We're fixing all of that. We've come a very, very long way in reconnecting, especially with the small business community. We're about to roll out a very, very robust small business growth program here in Tucson that we think will catch a lot of people's eye.
Pricing structure, we're just about out of time. I'm going to try to maybe redo the pricing structure for membership.
I've got a draft of a new strategy for pricing membership dues on the table right now. We're putting a little polish on it, but we'll be rolling out something new here real soon.
Mike Varney, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Mike Varney is the new head of the Metropolitan Tucson Chamber of Commerce. Thank you very much for being with us. And you've got your work cut out for you as you go around meeting people here in the community.
A great staff and a great board, Bill. We're going to get there.
All right. Mike Varney, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
We're going to be taking a break. It's coming up on the bottom of the hour. We'll have our Friday Reporters Roundtable coming up. Sarah Garrett Gasson will be staying with us. And we will be talking about what's been going on this week here in Southern Arizona.
SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. CIA Director Leon Panetta is in Pakistan. A Pakistani and an American official say he's there for talks aimed at repairing ties between the two countries. The visit is Panetta's first to Pakistan since a U.S. raid last month killed Osama bin Laden. Alaska has released more than 24,000 pages of Sarah Palin's emails from her first 21 months as the state's governor. The documents fill six boxes and weigh 100 pounds. An official with her political action committee says those who read them will see a very engaged governor, being the CEO of her state. The winds have been lighter in eastern Arizona today, but a massive wildfire continues to grow. It's now burned 639 square miles of forest and appears likely to spread into New Mexico soon. Calmer winds are allowing firefighters to make some progress. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanca Verde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Back on the Buckmaster Show at 12:35. Welcome back. We are on KVOI AM 1030 and the Voice Network over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Every Friday around this time, we have a couple of reporters come in for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who are sounding off on the week's top stories. Joining me today on the Friday Roundtable, Mark Evans of the TucsonCitizen.com and Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. Again, we welcome you to join in the conversation from anywhere in Arizona by calling 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mark, what is the latest on this special session at the state capitol on extending Arizona's jobless benefits?
I was watching it online before I came over here, and the House has already adjourned for Monday, so there'll be no vote in the House. So, and the Senate, they're making noise that they are also going to adjourn for Monday, but there's barely enough senators that showed up today in order to even have a vote. There was only 23 senators out of 30 that were there. And that's the reason the Republicans are giving for moving things to Monday is because there's so many people that are out of town, and the governor just kind of sprung this on them, and people are coming back from vacations. In fact, Senator David Shapiro, who's the a Democrat from Phoenix, he was out of the country, apparently, and he came all the way back for the session because he thought it was that important. So there's a deadline that was today that the federal government had imposed. So the fact that they're not voting on it today raises some ambiguity as to whether any vote on it on Monday would be moot, but they were making noise during the debate that they can still pass it on Monday. But I don't think they will. There's no way it's going to pass the Senate.
So right now it's supposed to be Monday afternoon at 1:30 that they're going to
is when the House is going to readjourn. I don't know what the Senate's going to do. The Senate was still having speeches about this issue on the floor when I left to come over here. So we're not talking about a whole lot of money here. We're talking about 15,000 people who have run out of time they've been on the unemployment for 70 some weeks. And under the rules that were passed through the federal government, the state needs to ask for more time to keep these people on the rolls. It's about 15,000 people now, but if they extended, it would add maybe another 25,000 people during the course of the year.
It's only a couple of words, too, that need to be changed,
right,
Sarah.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that is such a simple fix to make, and it's the sort of thing that would keep money that's been in the economy coming into the economy through people. I mean, if you're surviving on a couple $100 from your unemployment check a week, the money comes in, you spend it on gas, you spend it on housing, you spend it on food. It's not like people are banking this money and not looking for work. Additionally, I think the governor has been trying to put some added provisions saying if you're going to get this money, you have to do more to show that you're looking for work. She's added some other things to try to attract more GOP people, legislators to this. I don't know that it's going to work. Some people just seem ideologically opposed to this whole idea, which is really short-sighted. This needs to pass.
And it won't cost the state anything. This is all going to be federal money. And we're only talking like $212 a week. To extend these benefits. What it looks like is going to happen is the noise that they seem to be making today is that the Republicans want to turn this into a jobs bill. The new Speaker of the House, Andy Tobin, kept saying he doesn't want an unemployment bill. He wants an employment bill, and they're looking at more tax cuts and other things along those lines to try and provide jobs, which that would be great. We could use some bills that might actually provide some stimulus to the economy and bring some jobs to Arizona. But in the short term, we don't want to be taking people who are just barely subsisting on this money and say, okay, you know, go get a tent and live out in the desert since you don't have any money to pay for whatever meager existence you're eking out now with these $200.
Yeah, too bad for you because we want to play around with some tax cuts. Because it's the kind of thing where if someone had a magical fix to create jobs in their pocket and they could just pull it out, it's not like the jobs are going to be created tomorrow. People need this money to still be coming in, as meager as it is, as small as it is, to pay the bills, put food on the table today, tomorrow, next week. It's not the kind of thing that people can wait around.
And there's not a lot of jobs out there either. I mean, McDonald's famously hired 50,000 people a few months ago, including 1,000 in Arizona, and they had two huge job fairs in Arizona. And there were, of the 1,000 people that they hired in Arizona, there was like four or five people who applied for each one of those jobs that didn't get hired. So you had 4,000, 5,000 people trying to get 1,000 McDonald's jobs who couldn't get them because there just weren't enough jobs, even though McDonald's was hiring 1,000 people. When you look at the U6 numbers, I mean, unemployment is just people who are actively looking for jobs. There are thousands of people in Arizona who have given up, and they're not being counted in the unemployment number, which is right now 9.3%. So those people all get lumped into what's called a U6 number, and that U6 number in Arizona has been around 17 or 18% for the 3 years of the recession, including this jobless recovery that we're in now. So you're talking about close to one out of every five Arizonans is either out of work, has stopped looking for work, or is employed in a job that pays them much less than what they were getting before the recession started. And that's really what's dragging our economy. And we're not going to get out of this recession in Arizona until we do something about all the foreclosed homes out there. And that's what the legislature really needs to be doing, is trying to get some relief and get all these homes that are dragging down the home industry in Arizona resolved so that we can get back to building homes, which is what our economy is based on anyway.
You're hearing Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. This is our Friday Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show. And Sarah, talking about jobs, one of the tragedies of this fire that's burning still pretty much out of control up in eastern Arizona, the economic impact, those counties were really hard hit anyway with unemployment in that area.
Yeah, and those counties rely tremendously on the summer tourist season. All of us people baking in the desert like to go up to, you know, the White Mountains.
Greer and Alpine, some of the most beautiful areas of the country, really.
Yeah, and now it's all ablaze, and it's incredibly tragic and sad. And it will have a long-lasting impact even if these months that will have the immediate impact as people are evacuated and then it comes back, just go up to Mount Lemmon. I mean, the Aspen fire was several years ago, and you can see the scars on the landscape still. It's going to be years and years and years until that comes back, and it's going to be felt for decades.
You know, these fires could actually be a way for people to really grasp the budget crisis that we have in the United States, where the one side of the coin, the conservative Republicans are saying, we need to cut spending, we need to cut spending, we need to cut spending, and no increase in revenues. Well, that spending would presumably include cuts to the Forest Service, the Agricultural Department, and also to, you know, national parks and the like. Well, ecotourism is big in Arizona. It provides a lot of jobs in Arizona. And the Chiricahua National Monument, for all intents and purposes, is gone. It has burned in the Horseshoe 2 fire.
Yeah, Horseshoe 2.
The Tumacacri Highlands west of the Tumacacri area, was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Burned, is gone.
And that was area that Congressman Raul Grijalva, who was with us yesterday on the Buckmaster Show, that was an area he was trying to get preserved
right, absolutely.
As a national monument and treasure. And now, how much of that has been destroyed?
You know, after Arizona burned in the early 2000s, and much of the West burned in the early 2000s, the Congress passed the Healthy Forest Initiative, which was supposed to go through and thin these forests to try and prevent these wildfires, with these crown fires that were just devastating. And there were, in 6 years between 2003 when it's passed and 2009, 170 lawsuits were filed to try and to oppose either forest thinning plans or to change forest thinning plans. And so very few forests got thinned. That's hard to say when you try to say it really fast. Including the sections of Arizona that is on fire right now. And, you know, part of the reason was there wasn't any money. Well, we've spent probably anywhere between $50 and $70 million putting these three fires out, which if we had spent that money in the last 6 years, then in the forests, we wouldn't be spending that much money now putting the forests out. We'd all be up in the mountains having a good time.
And I think part of it is the difference. And it's, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, blame the environmentalists. You know, I've heard people say that just sort of blanketly. But it's important to make a distinction between the saplings and the young trees that provide the tinder and the grasses that burn routinely, and then what we're seeing now, the old growth, and what is traditionally, when you refer to logging, the really old trees, the old growth forest, which creates the crown fires, which we're seeing the devastation with now. So it's not as simple as, oh, if we had only done XYZ, none of this would happen. It's very complicated, and it's all intertwined, which is not to be surprised. It's not surprising because it's such a complicated issue with lots of different moving parts.
Then there's the pesky beetle that's been really decimating the forest.
Right. So in the early 2000s, you had we were in this brutal drought, and that was what was dried out the forest.
Still, I would say.
Well, and at the same time, then you had the bark beetle, which was damaging the forest as well. And then you had all the 100 years of fuel loading and all those other problems. And then, you know, we had some decent winters, and we had a decent monsoon, and we didn't burn, you know, after 2003 with the Aspen fire and the Bullock fire and the Rodeo Chedisky fire and the Rattlesnake fire and all those other fires early in the 2000s. Well, now we're in a drought again, and, you know, we're back to burning.
Let's switch gears here, and there's been a lot of speculation about Gabrielle Giffords' condition, especially after the Arizona Republic talked with Giffords' aide about, got kind of a realistic picture, Mark Evans, about how Gabby is doing.
Yeah, it was the first time we've really gotten an idea of how she's communicating. You know, talking is and stump speeches and the like is a politician's stock and trade. I mean, that is how they communicate their thoughts and ideas, and it's hard to conceive her returning to Congress if she's having the troubles that were described in this column in being able to speak. She's unable to speak in complete sentences. She has to rely on gestures and short two-word phrases and the like. Now, she may continue to make progress, but I think what we need to look at is that, you know, where she is in, say, in January rather than where she is right now, and then make a decision. But I think any talk of her running for Senate is over.
And I have to say that it's not a surprise. I mean, it happened in January. We're only in June. Right. Her recovery has been
remarkable,
astonishing,
yeah.
And it's just miraculous that she is where she is, and that no one knows how far she'll come or won't go in the coming time. But I also think that, and I've heard this from different people, that there seems to be this undercurrent of either she's back 100% to the Gabby we knew, very well eloquent, very quick on her feet, and either she's back 100% to how we knew her, or she's
somehow damaged goods.
Yeah, or just
yes.
gone.
Yes,
and so I think the idea, I really think that we need to expand our idea of what it means to be a person and a member of Congress and a productive person, and talk about how you can be a productive person with living
special needs,
with living with a disability. And I don't see that. I don't think that having some sort of residual disability because of this necessarily disqualifies her from continuing the work that she has been doing. She has a track record. People know her. We don't know what she'll be able to do, what she won't be able to do. But I really have a hard time with just dismissing out of hand. I think it's such an opportunity to say people with disabilities have lots of opportunities to be productive, to be contributing members of society, and be members of Congress. And so there's an opportunity here.
And you know, if she's capable of complex thought, which what the columns seem to indicate that she is, but not complex speech, then I don't see any reason why she couldn't serve in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will change the dynamic of how one goes about getting elected in those situations. But we've had people at Congress who have had disabilities of all kinds, people without limbs, and we had a president who was in a wheelchair, although he hid it from everybody.
Right.
But we haven't had anybody that I know or that I can think of who was deaf or who had trouble communicating. But if she's able to communicate in some fashion and she's capable of complex thought, then, yeah, she should be able to stand for election in 2012, and we'll see what happens.
And I think that would be something that would be remarkable, and I think it would be very much in – I mean, not that I'm signing her up for anything, but I think that it's the kind of thing that would be a testament to what people can do, and that we should not just automatically say, oh, well, she's not exactly the way she used to be. She's done.
In the meantime, the Democrats need to figure out who's going to run for Senate in Arizona.
Yes, they do.
Mark and Sarah, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
We've got Weekend Watch coming up next.
Years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. With 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at MedicineManGallery.com. 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanque Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's 12:54 on the Buckmaster Show, and Weekend Watch is signaled by that lively, upbeat music as we get ready to get into a weekend here. We will be joined in a moment here with Matt Russell, Tucson publicist and dedicated food enthusiast, foodie about town. If there's even a scent of a good meal in the air, our friend Matt Russell is on it. Matt, how you doing?
Doing great, and that lead-in is perfect, Bill, because I just finished up a glorious lunch today with my good friends Fred Ronstadt and George Jensen, a lovely lunch at the new Bushi traditional Japanese restaurant on Speedway and Swan. Had some great sushi. You know, I never met a raw fish that I didn't like, Bill. And now listen to this. Every day of the week from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., take advantage of this great happy hour that they have every day, and they specialize in sake martinis. Bill, I know you're going to be rushing over to Bushi this evening to find out what in the world is going on over there.
Did you do a little sampling of that sake at lunch today before you got on the Buckmaster Show, or did you pretty much, knowing that you had this radio appearance coming up, that you had to play it somewhat straight?
Well, I know, Bill, your listeners demand authenticity, so they want to know that I'm eating and drinking of the things that I talk about, so I'll leave that to your imagination.
There you go. What about this summer safari tonight? Good way to get out and enjoy the Reed Park Zoo.
Absolutely. Every Friday night now, Bill, through the summer, summer safari nights at the Reed Park Zoo. You're going to be able to view your favorite animals, visit with some of the special animal ambassadors. There's games, there's crafts, there's face painting, a great family atmosphere, and I think one of the great zoos in the Southwest. I mean, every time I get out to the Reed Park Zoo, I find something new. I discover something new. Can't imagine a better way to spend a Friday afternoon, Friday evening than out at the zoo.
I know you like to take the kids out there, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, as my kids grow older, you think they sort of outgrow the zoo. You know, I'm well into my 40s, Bill, and I have not outgrown the Reed Park Zoo.
Second Saturday coming up downtown yesterday, we had Mr. McCusker, Fletcher McCusker, on the program from the Providence Service Corporation. He was kind of instrumental in getting that second Saturday downtown kicked off, and they've got another one tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night. Fletcher McCusker really is a legitimate hero in this community, Bill. I mean, what he has done, the level of investment that he's made in every way imaginable to resuscitate the energy, the vibe downtown every second Saturday of the month. This really is the place to be. Downtown comes alive. It's an urban street fest. Street vendors, live music, special events at the Fox and Rialto Theaters, and of course some of the best restaurants in Tucson are right downtown. So this is a great action-packed evening every second Saturday downtown, just coming up tomorrow night.
And if you like garlic and onion, I guess just follow your nose this weekend.
Follow your nose straight down I-19 south to Amado. Bill, in fact, this is the Agua Linda Farm, the fourth annual Garlic and Onion Festival. They're going to have live music, moonlit hay rides, pony rides, and, of course, great food with nothing better than the best garlic and onion that you can find anywhere in the Southwest. You can harvest it right there. You can fill your car up with the goodies of the region, bring it back, and share with those you love. And what better way to bring someone into your own heart with some garlic and onion, Bill?
Yeah, and I think people will be able to tell certainly where you were this weekend.
Make no mistake. Yes, indeed.
In the remaining few seconds, getting back to downtown, the restaurant scene really is exploding downtown, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I've been in Tucson on and off for over 30 years, and, you know, we've been hearing this thing called downtown revitalization for so long, but it really isn't just the last year and a half again. again, partly because of Fletcher McCusker's leadership, inspiring restaurants to consider downtown as a destination. We're really celebrating that because you can just take a stroll down Congress, all around the downtown area, stick yourself in and out of different bars and restaurants, and get the kind of culinary experience that you really weren't able to get several years ago down there. You are bound to find something that you like from every ethnicity at a restaurant downtown. I just love what's happening down there.
Okay, Matt Russell, the Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show, and now we will signal goodbye to you with your famous signature music. Have a great weekend, and do not eat, don't eat too much, and what about that sake? Please, be moderate.
I'm on my way to the sake martinis, indeed. Have a
All
great
right,
weekend.
See you later. Accountants, Flowers and Rieger, located at 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, our lovely producer, Rosemary Brandt, and our lovely marketing director, Deborah Howard, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend. Have a great weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.